Welcome, one and all, to the 128th episode of the Nerdstravaganza podcast. I'm Brian, and that's all we have this week. The guys are unavailable this week, and we'll be doing something a little bit different with just me. As for my weekly geekly, I'm happy to say I'm recently returned from a fun day of gaming and LARPing at Minicon, a popular growing convention here in Fort Lauderdale area. Had a lot of fun there, played some games thanks to the Adventure Game Store, had some great lunch thanks to the Spanish place across the street, and some great dinner thanks to the Indian place adjacent to the hotel, and it was a great time. Fun day. Aside from that, I spent most of my time on Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn, which is what we're going to discuss this episode. Now, I know we did one recently where all of our thoughts were shared, but a popular question that I hear these days is, what MMO should I play? And now that I've played this one for a little while longer, I feel a little more qualified to answer that. So let's get right into it. Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn. As a game to play, I quite enjoyed this, and it struck me as the first MMO I've played to feel like a console game, which I suppose makes sense since it is available on PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4, but it also feels more like a Final Fantasy game. The graphics are straight out of a recent Final Fantasy game. You could easily believe you were playing Lightning Returns yet again on PlayStation 4 while looking at this game. The music is everything you have come to love and expect from any Final Fantasy, and just far and away one of the best parts of the game. This felt, for a lot of the game, more like I was just playing a console game than an MMO. Not really until the dungeon runs did it feel like you were part of a larger world. And I would sometimes just forget that the people I were interacting with were actual humans instead of NPCs. I needed to buy a sword, I'd go to a smith, and it could have just as easily have been a computer player. But the dungeons, which are called duties in this game, are where you're required to team up and tackle bigger bosses with friends or total strangers, thanks to the randomization program. And that becomes more and more common as the game goes on, kind of forcing you into the community, which is good or bad. I generally play MMOs to be pretty self-sufficient. I usually join a guild of friends that I meet or that I know in real life, but I'm not a huge part of it. So this kind of nudges you in that direction, a little bit out of my comfort zone, but it makes it a rewarding experience. It's definitely fun having to learn how to group as time goes on. It won't let you do the next thing until you accomplish the first, which I think helps the later learning curve. A lot of people complain about people being power leveled and not having any idea how to play. This prevents that a little bit. And that community is a big part of why you want to play any MMO, because I think you'll get tired of playing any game for as long as we play some of these massively multiplayer stories where loot is the end result even long after you finish the storyline. Having to do the same thing over and over is much more tolerable if there's friends you can do it with, or meeting new friends along the way, or even having people to chat with while you do it by yourself. The community here is pretty great. I was surprised to see how many actual fans of Final Fantasy and anime and other Japanese-influenced things were in this game. I'm used to kind of more of a first-person shooter crowd when I play MMOs. Warcraft was full of a bunch of clans who had been playing games together forever and ever, but very new to the fantasy RPG elements. And I'm not sure if that's because time has changed or if this is just a game that lends itself to those fans more readily, but I definitely felt like the game clicked with its audience a lot more solidly than just, here's a daily, go run it. Here's a monster, go kill it. When a big boss spawns somewhere in the world and people get excited about, oh, it's Odin, I'm going to go kill Odin, it's more exciting to me than, oh, this dragon's on a 3-day spawn and let's just gather and kill it at the same time. So the community was a huge part of the game for me, a huge positive. Some of the bigger negatives, on the other hand, this is definitely a Square Enix game designed with the same design flaws everyone complains about their console games. The entire 50 levels slowly unfolds like a tutorial. You are not allowed to do even basic things like PvP until you're halfway through the game. I don't know why that is. It feels like everything is on rails. Even though you can do whatever you want with what's available, you're not allowed to open up things prematurely, which bothered me a little bit. And while the gameplay may have been very simple and straightforward, basically knowing what red stuff not to stand in and what buttons to press in order, the interface was horribly cumbersome. And I don't know why that is. I don't understand, for instance, why you would need to unlock the ability to hire someone to sell your items in the auction house instead of just going to the auction house and selling items like you've been able to buy items all along. I don't understand why any PvP abilities you may unlock are in a completely different place than all the other abilities you've unlocked. Yeah, I get it's PvP, but an ability is an ability. So that whole thing is just very cumbersome. I guess you adapt. You'll be playing it for a month or so anyway, so you'll have plenty of time to do that. And speaking of how long you'll be playing it, I think that is the biggest complaint I have for the game, because so much of it felt like a single player experience. And then at the end, you get stuck. You cannot progress. It is all about dailies. It is all about grinding faction with this guy and reputation with that guy. And it just becomes all about, this isn't really fun, but I've got so much invested in it that I'll keep playing it to see what happens next. That bothers me. I'm not a huge fan of that. It feels like this could have been two games to me. A single player story that I would have happily have played on my PlayStation, or an MMO that could have done without all of that. And because of that, I do recommend fans of Final Fantasy, especially if you played through some of the crap we've had lately, if you've played through 10-2 or 13-2, this is a good Final Fantasy game, and you are ultimately a warrior of light who will change the world or not. And I approve of that. I like that very much. As an MMO, however, I don't think you'll stick with it for as long as you've stuck with some others. This does not feel as deep as World of Warcraft or even Rift, which I enjoyed immensely, even though that was never very popular. Probably a better solution than WildStar or some other stuff on the market. Especially if you do consider the price. You can buy the game for PC for about $25 and then a month of play for another $15, which is less than you can buy a real PlayStation 4 game for. And you've had that same experience. You've had a great Final Fantasy game from start to finish. And then you can just feel good about walking away from all of the later in-game grinds. So I really don't see how a fan of the previous games could go wrong here. It may not be the next big thing, but it's a great game and it's great fun. And the music and graphics alone are completely worth picking it up. I do recommend it. I'm just not sure it's anything you'll be playing for years and years. And if you do decide to pick it up because of something you've heard here, I am on the Exodus server, shard, world, whatever, and I would be happy to chat with you or teach you the basics or even run some dungeons with you, so you can contact the podcast and let me know how to look you up. That is it for this week. short and sweet with just one host. We'll see you here next week, hopefully with a fuller roster. And in the meantime, thanks for listening, and don't forget to check out our other episodes on iTunes or the popular streaming service Stitcher. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, join us on Google+, and join our Nerdstravaganza HQ Facebook group. If you have any questions, you can contact us at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our homepage, www.nerdstravaganza.com. See you next week.